Our first speaker this morning is Esteban Ewan, who is the Apache Fink PNC member and the co-founder and CTO of Data Artisans. Before founding Data Artisans, Stefan has been involved in the development of Apache Fink since the early days of the project. So Stefan's going to be talking about stream processing, and stream processing has solved a lot of the technical challenges that were once unsolvable because of its ability to handle the continuous nature of data. So he's going to talk about Flink's approach to high-performance stream processing, and I will not take any more of his time. Thank you so much for coming.
All right, thanks for the warm introduction. Does this thing work for me too? Okay, I guess I just manually. Okay, yeah, thanks. So my name is Stefan. I'm one of the co-creators of Apache Flink a few years ago. CTO of Data Artisans. Data Artisans is a company founded actually out of the Flink community by a bunch of the early folks on Flink. To basically have a home to work on Flink, and we're offering support and things around Flink these days. So I'm going to talk about stream processing as a foundational paradigm in Apache Flink's approach to it. I'm going to spend a little more time on the second part because I hope that actually the first part has sort of made its way to the audience in most ways already. I'm wearing, in some sense, two hats during this talk, the Flink PMC hat, and once in a while, the Data Artisans hat. For most of the time, it's the Flink hat. I'm going to tell you when I'm speaking with the other hat on, okay? One thing, we've never actually shown it like that before, but since this is ApacheCon, I actually want to point this out. That's the Flink logo, the squirrel. Flink is originally... it's actually a word in German and Swedish and so on, meaning fast and agile and nimble, and we thought a squirrel would be a nice animal for that. And if you can actually see the tail of the squirrel, it's actually the Apache feather, so it was meant to be an homage to Apache. It's not that obvious anymore because the Apache feather looks different now than compared to when Flink started, but yeah, it's still there. Okay, so yeah. Why is stream processing such a big deal, or is becoming such a big deal? And I think if you have to sum it up in one quote, that's a quote from my good friend Kostas, who is also one of the early folks on Flink. Stream processing is enabling the obvious. It's allowing you to do continuous processing on data that is continuously produced in a very natural way. And since most people actually have, in fact, streaming data is continuously produced. It's not dumped at you a terabyte at a time or so. It's logs, it's event user interactions, all these things that happen continuously over time. It's a pretty natural match. And as such, actually, streaming is turning out as an abstract logical model to subsume most of, for example, batch processing, right? So if we look at two example data sources, let's say this is a stream of events in something like Apache Kafka, and here's a chunk of files, you know, a file per hour, in something like Hadoop distributed file system. You actually see things like that pretty often. And then I would assume traditionally most people would have thought the above thing is kind of a streaming thing, the below thing is sort of a batch thing. But it actually turns out it's all streaming things if you think about it, right? The above thing is just a low latency stream, and the below data source it's actually a high latency stream, a stream in which events come with up to an hour latency. As these files coming in. So if those two are streams, then what is a batch? What people have, until quite recently ago, usually talked about as batch processing is actually, if you wish, bounded stream processing. So a subset of the streams with a beginning and an end, being a bounded stream, is in some sense logically subsuming the idea of batch processing. But that's only one of the many facades to stream processing. It's not just actually a superset of batch processing. It's also something that enables you to write applications or build infrastructures differently in a nicely decoupled way, right? Instead of having a lot of applications that interact with the same data sources, share files, modify files, and state, actually decoupling them to have continuous data sources that you read and process as streams and then build applications independently over these streams. It gives you a very nice and simple architectural pattern to build separations of concerns in a very nice and easy way. It's in some sense the architectural pattern for the microservice area, if you wish. And at the same time, also, stream processing allows you to simplify a lot of operational aspects in terms of, you know, problems that arise every now and then that you have to go back in time and reprocess something. You know, you've either lost or you want to migrate a bunch of data, and a very easy way is to just say, okay, let me just reprocess a bunch of my computation, or let me actually apply my real-time computation or the continuous computation I'm doing in real-time on some data in the past. And if you actually model everything as processing over streams, then you can actually see how it becomes nicely all the same thing. The same job, if you attach it to the end, for example, of a Kafka queue and you process events in real-time, you get real-time answers. If you actually say, okay, I'm not actually processing the latest, I'm just processing something earlier, the one and the same application can do you the real-time processing and the historic processing all the same. It's really just a matter of where in the stream do you start, where in the stream do you stop, how do you just continuously go through it. So for the sake of this short keynote, that was a very, very quick introduction to it. I hope at least some of the core points stuck. In some sense, I would personally say that looking at 2016 is definitely one of the years where this paradigm is like reaching major infrastructures where almost everybody is starting to talk about stream processing. Just look at the conference program of this ApacheCon. It's one of the big themes. But if you think about it, like stream processing as itself and the stream processing technology is actually quite old. So for example, the project out of which Optiq and later Apache Calcite came is from the early 2000s. It was SQL Streams. It was doing stream processing, right? IBM Streams or so is from the early 2000s. So none of this sort of gave it the breakthrough that it is having these days. And so why has it actually started only so recently? And I think there are multiple aspects to that. One is definitely that, you know, the data-driven revolution just had to start and gain momentum as it did. And then this idea of modeling everything as streams needed some time to sink in. But one of the other big aspects is that I think it was also a technological thing. So stream processing, as we're talking about it today, was just not always possible. And one of the reasons was that there was for a long time kind of this, yeah, it seemed like one of these magic triangles that are hard to solve, you know. Stream processing, the way we talk about it today, is really powerful if you can combine the aspects of low latency, high throughput volume, and state and accuracy and everything. And these three things together, if you have them, are really powerful. But if you miss one of them, then it kind of loses a big part of its potential. So they've only been recently available together, actually. And one of the things that I'm actually personally quite proud of is of being part of this Apache Flink community, which I think was one of the first to actually demonstrate that this is possible together. So the Apache Software Foundation is home to, I think, more than 10 streaming systems these days. It's actually quite impressive. And there's a lot of innovation happening. And I think Flink was one of the ones that was actually like at the forefront of this wave of innovation, showing that you can actually get these aspects together: low latency, high throughput, state and accuracy. I'm going to talk a little more about that later, but like in a few words, what I mean by that is like exactly one semantics in the case of failure and recovery, processing with respect to event time. So if you eliminate these trade-offs, you actually get this powerful package that is stream processing. Flink's approach to stream processing is kind of hard to sum up shortly, but I'll give it a try. Flink by itself kind of layers its abstractions. The foundation is this what we call the stateful stream processor, and then we layered a bunch of things on top to, you know, make it easier, usable, incorporate more complex semantics, and so on. So Well, stateful stream processing is the basis. On top of it exist APIs for windowing, event time, and so on. A more declarative API even on top of that for schemaful processing, more optimization potential. And then at the very top, SQL. I'm going to spend most of the remainder of the time actually talking about stateful stream processing, what that means in Flink, actually, in detail. So, modeling a data-driven application as a streaming application starts out very simple, right? You just define a step of operations that you apply to your elements as they come in. You have a source that picks up streaming data, let's say from a log like Apache Kafka or so. You process it possibly through some filters, transformations. You interact with some application state. Think of it as you're having almost like a local hash map in your program to which you can read and write something, and then you emit results. Of course, because this is the area of massively parallel processing, you do this in parallel, so you at least run some of the operators with some parallelism. And then, I said this before a couple of times, this word state, this is really actually a quite important part of it. You have this embedded state in the operators, basically in every operator. I'm just drawing it here in two of the operators, which you can think of as just like variables or maps or lists that you maintain that allow you to actually have a look at more than one element at a time, but to remember information. If you're actually programming with that, you can almost think as like any Java application or so that just keeps some fields, some collections around that it maintains. These exist actually locally. It's not like there is a remote database or so that you interact with, but they exist locally in every operator, so you can actually work with them at memory speed. And when you increase the parallelism of your program, you actually have more machines, you have more local memory, and so on. So actually, the capacity of that state also scales. And then what Flink actually does is it just sends events through this thing and lets them run. So that is one of the fundamental decisions that we had in here. It's this parallel data flow, no artificial boundaries, nothing. Just let events flow, let them interact with the local memory and so on, with the local state, change something, and then they go on. So there's no notion of like grouping or mini batching or anything, which is quite important, because that by itself actually has, if you architect it like this, has already this throughput latency combination with a few tricks to play in the network stack. Now the more tricky thing, the more tricky aspect is actually how do you make this reliable, because that's really what's the tough challenge here. So all of these local state copies and so on, if anything happens, if a machine goes down or so, what do you actually do? How do you rescue it? And the technique that we implemented in Flink is called distributed asynchronous snapshots. So the way you can imagine this is you actually once in a while just sweep over the entire streaming application in the background and you draw a snapshot copy of what is happening in the streaming application. Let me actually run this animation again. I spent such a long time doing it. Okay. The important thing to notice is that this actually doesn't interrupt the stream processing, right? It just continues working at its own like memory and network speed and so on. You just have this thing in the background that actually collects a snapshot of the streaming application. And the semantic it gives you is the recorded snapshot captures what this thing would look like if you actually stopped it at some point in time, let it, you know, drain out, come to a halt, and then, you know, freeze it. But of course, without halting it. That is actually, if you wish, most of the basic building blocks. Just distributed streaming, keep it running at all time, no artificial boundaries, and then background snapshots. And while this sounds very simple, I think it's an extremely powerful building block for applications, because you can do a few very cool things with that. First of all, it's like the most powerful way of building fault tolerance. If anything goes down, what you can do is you can just, you know, roll back the pending computation to a snapshot and keep processing. You can actually think of these checkpoints as happening extremely frequently. So it's not something that, you know, happens once per hour or so. It's something that happens extremely frequently. So fault tolerance can be just rolling back computation. You can, of course, optimize on top of that, you know, rolling back less and less and so on, but All of that is basically optimization on top. That's the fundamental paradigm. Just reload state, rewind it. The same thing actually works for reprocessing, right? Let's assume that at some point in time, you just want to, you know, rerun the computation. Maybe you lost a downstream database or something and you need to recompute it. All you have to do is really say, okay, let me take an early snapshot, restore it, and I can just reprocess the entire thing. But it's actually even more that you can do, because you can actually load these snapshots into different streaming applications. So you can actually modify your program. Here in this case, add a few operators, change the parallelism of some, and load these snapshots into a different program. So you can actually seed the application state of some programs into other programs. And that actually by itself solves basically the issue of how do you do bug fixes in your programs without losing in-flight state? Because yeah, there's bound to be a bug in your application or in Flink, you know. And it's both the same, framework upgrades or program upgrades. You just launch a different instance with a bug-fixed one. You load the snapshot back. You go on. If you actually want to do something like A/B testing or so, you know, if you have a machine learning application or so, you want to tune some parameters. You want to try out what happens if you know this theta is a mu higher than it used to be. It's actually also representative of this. You just create a copy, you modify the program a little bit, tune a few parameters, you load in the snapshot and so on. Just keep a copy of it running. So again, just loading the state into, loading the snapshot into the stream processor and keep going. You can almost think of it as if you model your entire application as a streaming pipeline, everything. And you can actually very well do that with this flexible state. You know, you have the local interactions of state, you have the individual computational steps expressed as a data flow graph. You can model very big applications as one streaming pipeline. And if you actually do this, what you have, you have almost something like versioning of your application state. You can have an application here, application A, running, you know, taking a save point, taking a later save point, use that to fork off application B, take a later save point, fork off application C, you know, all these being variations in the, with parameters or with some extra filtering or enrichment steps. And you can even think, okay, you know, application C, I've been running this on a test data stream, but I think I've now figured out how the tuning works. Application A has worked on the, you know, main fire hose, and then you can say, okay, let me actually take the save point from application A, load it back into application C, which I actually tuned now, and then keep going with it. So it's actually extremely powerful, just the notion of having streaming pipelines and state snapshots. All right, so much for stateful stream processing. Let me just spend one slide on what is on top of that for the core APIs. And that is another extremely, extremely interesting flavor in stream processing, which is out of order or event time based stream processing. Because if you actually continue observing events in real time, there's a very good chance that you don't observe them exactly in the order in which they occurred. And that is especially true if the events happen, what's it called, a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. There's a fairly good chance that by the time we observe them, they appear sort of out of order. And this flavor of event time out of order processing allows you to actually compensate for it. It allows you to build a combination of, you know, treating of how real time you want to react versus how much you want to, you know, get them to a meaningful order before you actually want to process them. And I actually want to give a shout out to the Apache Beam community here and highlight that this is an extremely cool concept. Flink picked it up a while ago from a paper published by Google, which is by itself, I think, a very nice example of, you know, how open knowledge actually helps. But this same group later founded the Apache Beam project and is actually now doing a terrific job in promoting this and kind of building, trying to establish a new standard. And with all the attention it's getting, I think there's a pretty good chance that people are already calling this the Beam model, that like Apache Beam is going to be one of these projects that are going to define like industry standards for that. All right. What can you actually do if you have a powerful stream processor like that? Let me actually just give you a few examples. The top one is a bit, it's just crazy good timing, because for those of you who've actually watched the news, last Friday was Singles Day in China, which is this huge shopping festival. Alibaba is basically, I don't know, selling stuff to all the, in the volume of the economy of half of the world in one day or so. And if you actually look at what is powering this these days, I think you'll find more than two handful of Apache projects in there. So the search ranking, the real-time search ranking space is computed by a Flink-based system. But it also involves HBase, it involves Apache Kafka, it involves RocketMQ, which is a new Apache incubator project. So this whole thing is actually driven to a very large extent by Apache open source technology these days. This is an interesting use case that I briefly want to mention just because it shows how powerful this idea of stateful stream processing is. And King are the makers of Candy Crush Saga. That's what they're at least most famous for. They're also doing other things. And what they built on top of Flink is a system that is continuously, you know, computing statistics over all the user interactions with games. And they've built dashboards on top of that where users can program, you know, Java or Groovy code, and it ad hoc compiles it, injects it, lets it piggyback on running aggregates, inject new aggregates, and so on. And it's a very simple thing because all the code that you load, that you run, that you compute is just another form of state, and all these things are just kept consistent and recoverable by the snapshot mechanism. If you migrate it, if you need fix bugs, it's just like snapshots, alterations, restores, and so on. So it's even for kind of these very dynamic settings, it's a very powerful building block. Actually, see, my time is up, so I have to skip over a few slides here. Let me just show a few last slides. I think with these things coming up in open source streaming, it's an awesome technology. It's extremely powerful, and my personal view on where this is going in the last few slides. I wanted originally to say what is the next gen, but then I looked at the program committee, not the program committee, the program of this conference, and actually next gen is highly used, so I can only say what's my personal view of what is coming up. So given that we can do all this kind of very, very advanced computations in stream processing these days, here are a few, I think, natural next steps. One of it is what we call queryable state. It's actually something that is both that's both being very much talked about in the Kafka and in the Flink communities. It just means if you have a stateful stream processor and you're computing and you're doing these, you're computing state. You're basically computing aggregates, like you're having parts of your database in the stream processor. What you want to do very naturally is actually query it. And you can do it actually if you use the latest Flink versions. You can directly connect some of the dashboards against the stream processor. So you don't need any auxiliary databases, which is in some sense the best thing you can do for latency because you don't have to move data between the stream processor or some database. Elastic parallelism, that was something that is kind of a hard thing in streaming as the applications are continuously running. Batch processors would change parallelism between stages. A stream processor can, in some sense, not do that easily because everything is continuously running. Solving that problem, changing parallelism, maintaining exactly one semantics without the user having to implement extra interfaces and without having to carefully plan for partitions is a very tough thing. I think it's one of the solved very well. It's one of the next gen features. It's coming up in Flink 1.2, and I think in a very interesting way. Again, inspired actually by other Apache technology, if you wish, in this case by Apache Cassandra. This slide is probably the only one that I'm saying with my data artisan's hat on rather than my Apache Flink hat on. This is just a very personal thing of what I believe is next gen. It's nothing that is that has been discussed very big inside the Flink community. I think if we actually have with queryable state, we have this very nice way of doing stateful stream processing with snapshots. It's becoming very natural that people build entire applications as streaming applications, and they'll move the contents of entire databases inside the stream processor, which means that the stream processor will actually have to cope with terabytes of states internally. So That is a big challenge because we actually have to, you know, keep computation and state in sync, maintain fast checkpoints and recovery. And with that, I'm actually done with this keynote. The last slide is actually also a shout out to another Apache community, in this case Calcite. What is definitely coming up is full SQL on streams. Reinterpreting SQL to be applicable on streaming is kind of a tough thing, and was not architected for continuous for continuous semantics and so on. But they're very good discussions, both in the Flink community together with the CalSite community. And I think we're coming up with something that actually has a good chance of being something that's going to be adopted as Stream SQL semantics later, which I would personally find an extremely nice example again of how the open source communities start actually setting industry standards, and not the closed industry committees anymore. With that, I'm done. Thank you.
Thank you so much. All right. Thank you, Esteban.